is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Kermode and I'm a master gardener. And it's my pleasure to introduce our audience to Mr. Jim Bliss. And we're going to spend a few minutes talking about grapes and specifically grapes for the home gardener. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Mike.
Jim, if you could, why don't we start out with a little bit of introduction and introduce yourself to the group and a little bit about your background and experience.
I was a farmer for about 15 years in Fresno County, where I grew Thompson seedless grapes, a grape which can be used both for a table grape and for raisins, and I made raisins and sold them to Sunmade.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. And typically in our county, what type of grapes are typically grown?
Actually, in Tuolumne County, you're looking mostly at wine grapes up here. Raisins, it's the wrong climate. It rains too much in the early fall to dry them. And table grapes is a little problematic as well because of the early frost.
Can we grow table grapes in our county?
Absolutely. You can grow wonderful table grapes in Tuolumne County.
Are they easy to grow?
I like to think of a grape as the grapevine is a pernicious weed. It actually will take over anything it can get. I've seen grapevines pull down tall trees, and they've spread, you know, to where a single vine can spread out over an acre if
My
you just
gosh.
Leave it alone.
Wow. Wow. If I'm new to my property and I have grapes growing, how can I tell what kind of grapes I have growing?
If it's been cared for, if it has a cane pruning or whips coming out of a central head, it's probably a table grape and seedless. If it has two arms coming from the central stalk, then it's probably a wine variety and will have seeds.
Okay, and then I guess the other way would simply to be able to eat the grapes that your vines might be producing and determine whether they're seeded, which most likely would be a type of wine grape, or a seedless variety, which would be a table grape.
Absolutely, Mike.
Excellent, excellent. Jim, we're sitting here in the middle of November. The weather is absolutely beautiful. We've got a picturesque view out of your kitchen window, and the leaves are turning colors, and winter is around the corner. As the home grower for grapes, what are some of the things I need to be considering now and in the future in terms of the care for my grapes?
Actually, after the harvest season, you can just take your time off. It's a slack season for a vineyard, and you can wait until full winter where the grape is totally dormant. And then you need to prune it and check for disease and things like that and rot in the stalks.
Okay. And in terms of, so I'm going to wait until the vines have gone completely dormant. The plant has lost all of its leaves. I'm guessing this will probably be in January, early February time frame.
That's a good guess.
And what will be the techniques that I'll need to use to prune my table grapes, seedless grapes, for fresh eating?
What you're going to do with a seedless grape is to cane prune it or whip prune it, and you'll prune it back to where you have brand new wood that just came out this year, and you want 4 to 6 of those canes on each vine. It has to be a pretty mature vine to handle 6 canes, otherwise you'll stunt your grapes. So you've got those, and you have to make sure that they're the first year wood from what came out. And they were green in the summer, and as you prune them, they'll be lightly browning, but it'll be fairly smooth skinned on the cane. And if it's got bark or anything off of it, it's from the year before, and that needs to be taken completely off.
Okay. So to summarize then, when I'm looking at pruning the grapes, after they've gone fully dormant, I'm looking to prune back all of the 2-year wood or older, which I can tell by how much bark is built up on those vines, all the way back to the mother plant.
The old wood back to the mother plant, leave a bud or two, so that you can have fresh canes coming out of it for the year after. And then the new wood, you prune it, and then you tie it down with a green garden tie to the wire trellis, and that's where your grapes will come out next year.
Excellent. And how far back will I want to prune that new wood?
The new wood, you leave about 3 to 3.5 feet for each cane, and then just attach all 3 or 2 of them to each side of the trellis.
And again, no more than 6 total canes for a mature plant and 3 to 4 canes for a younger plant.
That's a good rule of thumb.
Okay. Jim, any other type of care or maintenance that I need to be aware of for my grapes?
In older vines, you probably will need to watch out for rotting wood, or the branches get a little extended from the main head, and those may have to be sawn off. But that would be in older vines. The other thing you have to watch out for is, as the summer progresses, you need to watch for caterpillars, and as your grapes approach being ripe, you have to watch for powdery mildew. The caterpillars, you can use a diatomaceous type of earth. There's a particular type of caterpillar that is very common in grapevines called a grape leaf skeletonizer, and it's got yellow and purple and white rings around it, and it can actually destroy whole vineyards.
Ooh, sounds beautiful, but very damaging at the same time.
Right, and that's what you want to use diatomaceous earth for, and if that doesn't work, then Bacillus thuringiensis. And for the powdery mildew, there's 2 things you can do. The first one, you should prune all of the canes so that they don't drag on the ground about 1 foot above the ground, and that will allow the air to circulate through the canopy. And if that doesn't work, then you're going to have to use a sulfur powder.
And then applying the diatomaceous earth, Jim, do I apply that as a powder and just liberally throw it on top of the plants?
I actually used it as an emulsion in water, and that sprayed it on there so that it wouldn't blow away, it would stay on the plant. And it's when the caterpillar eats the diatomaceous earth that it has its effect.
Got it, thank you, that's great advice. How about in terms of fertilization, composting, anything else like that that should be considered in the early spring so my plants will thrive?
You can use well-composted manure, and you can use compost in the vine rows themselves. Both of those are good ways to rejuvenate it, because a grape is a heavy feeder. So you want to do that often, and that should take care of it. Chemical fertilizers, I'm basically an organic grower even when I was farming. You lived on the farm, you didn't really want a lot of noxious chemicals around your children, so.
and both methods that you talked about, both for control of the skeletonizer caterpillar and the powdery mildew, are considered organic methods, are they not?
They are organic methods.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, Jim, really appreciate your time and your advice. Is there anything that you'd like to leave our audience before we close?
Well, the one thing you need to remember that is that grapes are terribly hardy plants. And you can't hurt it by pruning. In fact, while I was farming, I had something called tractor blight, which meant learning to drive a tractor. I just cut two off right at the base. And they grew back and produced within a year and a half.
Oh, that's fantastic. So even under a situation where a homeowner may do some inadvertent pruning or damage, the plants are so hardy that the chances are they're going to come back and thrive from it.
Absolutely.
Well, Jim, thank you so much, and I really appreciate your time and advice and recommendations, and have a great day.
Thank you so much.
This is KAAD-LP 103.5 FM, Sonora, California.
Welcome, everybody, to the demonstration garden here in Sonora, and Nancy Pikarsik is going to be talking about garlic. Nancy's a longtime Tuolumne Master Gardener, so Nancy, take it away.
Thank you. Well, garlic is very easy to grow. You shouldn't try to grow it from the bulbs in the grocery store because they spray them with stuff to keep them from sprouting a little longer, and you will be disappointed. But you can get them sometimes at even places like, I know I used to get them at Orchard.
Yeah.
Not sure if Lowe's has them or Wilco, but it's certainly a likelihood. And if you grow your own, you can just save one of your great big or two, depending on how many you want to plant, some of your large bulbs until, you know, the next year and plant them. And so garlic likes pretty rich soil, but it doesn't have to be rich really deep. They don't have very deep roots. And because they don't have very deep roots, they don't like to compete with weeds. So it really helps if you keep it weeded. So start with some fertilized soil. And then you take the bulb and you separate it out. And a lot of the times I'll take a bulb and I will use the biggest cloves on it for planting and just take some of the smaller ones in and, you know, use them for dinner or something. Because the bigger cloves make bigger heads of garlic, assuming all else is equal. Also, just a small thing about keeping your garlic once you have grown it, you can just braid it up and keep it somewhere cool and a little, well, you can just put it somewhere for the summer and it'll be fine. It'll last all summer. But come about October, if you want it to last to eat a little bit longer, stick it in the refrigerator because it will start to sprout starting in about October. I'm not sure if it's temperature or day length. I suspect day length, but I'm not sure. So you can plant garlic in the garden in October or November. Higher, I'd say October. Lower can be later. I usually plant late October unless I don't get to it, and then I do November. But so you plant it about maybe 2 inches deep approximately and spaced far enough apart to give you a big clove of garlic, or not clove, a head from each one. So maybe 4 inches apart or six. And also if your soil is not the richest, maybe a little further apart to let them accumulate a little more energy from the ground. They will just not look like anything's coming up for a while, surprisingly long. Sometimes I don't even see them coming up green until almost February. But they're there, they're growing, they're getting roots, they will come up. Well, they should. I mean, it still needs to be watered. If you plant them in October and it's 110 every day, they can live through a little dry, but I mean, not that much. They need to be watered just like anything else, but usually we don't have that problem starting in late October or November. But if we have a year like last year where there was no rain for 2 months, go out and water your garlic once in a while. And it does need some water. Yeah.
Hard neck.
I use soft neck, but, you know, it's not like I've tried a million kinds. I've grown elephant garlic, too. It's done fine. I'm not that familiar with that topic, so.
This is a silly question, Nancy, but does all garlic taste the same?
No, some of it's a lot hotter or stronger than others.
Okay.
Some of the stuff you can look on the web and things, and they actually even say, you know, robust garlic.
Oh,
or
robust, okay.
And it does, to some extent, have to do with what's in your ground. Like when I first started growing my garden, which is out on Twist Road, there was no sulfur in the ground when I tested it, just no sulfur. And I could grow Vidalia onions and the garlic wouldn't keep good. And, you know, any onion crop, if you want it to keep good, needs at least a little bit of sulfur in the soil.
How did you test for it?
I sent it to A&L down there once. Eventually, I sent it out
to A&L.
Yeah.
Okay, in Modesto.
In Modesto.
Did you do the just one sample, or did you do multiple samples? Do you remember?
I think I dug a little bit up in a couple of places, but I mean, I kind of knew that just because I was growing onions and they were coming out like, you know, they were not particularly varieties that were sweet onions, but that's how they came out. And that's what happens if you, that's where they grow Vidalia onions and all the other ones that have various names that are famous for being sweet onions but not lasting long, are grown in low sulfur soil. That's what does it.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Do you know if the bulk food that you apply has sulfur in it?
Some of it probably does. You can look on the gypsum has sulfur in it. And doesn't change the pH. So if your pH is okay, you can throw a little powdered gypsum in. Raises the calcium, and I need that too. My tomatoes absolutely love gypsum. It's weird.
Wow.
I mean, not tons of gypsum, but, you know, a little once in a while.
How much would you consider a little once in a while? Like maybe a quarter cup or something?
Well, it depends how big an area you're talking about.
True.
I just
sprinkle it.
Sprinkle it. And I personally don't use the organic gypsum. I use the stuff that's from flue ash because, surprisingly enough, it has a lot less of the things like lead and stuff in it than the organic stuff you dig up out of the ground in the desert. It's weird.
Wow.
But, I mean, if you're religiously organic, it isn't organic. It's from a flue ash, but
right. Works
for me. And they usually, I like to use the stuff that's super fine powder. If you get that, you can put it on just before you plant a crop of whatever sort. If you use the kind that's grainier, you really have to put it on, like in the fall and for the spring. And I don't know, you can look up how much to use.
Yeah.
A little.
Right, okay.
Don't over-fertilize.
Huh?
Don't over-fertilize. That's a good rule, yeah.
Yeah, And I mean, if you don't need calcium or sulfur, I wouldn't put it in. Or unless you live somewhere on with horrible clay, bad structure. I mean, I have sandy loam clay soil, but it has rocks and no nutrients. So you have to fertilize it. It can just be compost if you want, but.
Did you say when the garlic's going to be mature?
I usually dig mine up in July. You have to keep watering it through the spring or it won't get very big. I had a watering issue this last year, and our garlic came out way smaller than the year before, and it was doing really well until the drip decided to cease to function for a couple of weeks, and it went dormant early. But I still have garlic, and some of it's big enough that I'll plant it again. I just plant some of my own. I always save the biggest, best looking heads for planting the next year, which I don't have very many this year. Not big, good looking ones. But yeah, when the tops start to turn brown, take the water off them so that they don't get rotty and disgusting. If you need to, you can always water them once just as you dig them up. And a lot of things I've seen talking about drying your garlic, say throw them out in the sun. Don't do that here in July. Throw them out somewhere with good air circulation in the shade, because they will liquefy.
Yikes.
I mean, nothing that you says dry. Well, I suppose there are a few things, tomatoes maybe. But most things, they talk about drying them.
Flowers, you know, that make the seeds, when does that happen?
Those are leeks. And
but does that happen? They all alums do that. Don't they make pretty flowers?
Garlic makes some flowers, but it doesn't make any seeds. There is no such thing as a garlic seed. The top, the flower part of a garlic has little tiny baby cloves on it. And if you want, you can take and plant those, but it takes about 2 years to get them big enough to use them for a, you know, for a thing, for growing good sized garlic.
And what about the things that are called like shoots or something? Like you have, I don't know if that's onions or not, but I know that like there's the bulbs and there's the seeds and then they talk
scapes.
About, yeah. Worms.
Yeah. You can eat those. I mean, you can pretty much eat any part.
Do garlics do those?
Yeah. But they don't have seeds. It looks like a seed. It has like a, almost looks like a little flower on it, but then it just
and
has
so
little
you,
baby bulbs, which you can plant if you want.
And you can pick those and eat those.
Yep.
Okay. They and taste. Does it do anything? Is that just before you're going to pick the bulb then?
Yeah, usually I take the water off before it develops those for garlic because, you know, doesn't really do you any good. You don't get seeds, and you just get these tiny, tiny little cloves that are about a quarter of an inch. Maybe a big one would be a quarter of an inch across, a huge one. They're usually smaller than that. And it would take you at least 2 years in a little bed of some sort to get them up to the size where you could use them to grow garlic cloves. But you could do that, like if you had some garlic variety that somebody gave you that you just wanted to multiply out and you only had one clove to start with, you could get 20 or 30 plants out of it that way by letting it go to, you know, flowers. Mm-hmm. But
and
you
so
won't get
it,
seeds.
If it does that sacrifice the garlic bulb then?
Yeah, somewhat.
I mean, usually you take the water off before that. You know, you see them. I get a couple sometimes. They don't make a lot of blossoms like other things, but they do make some. And like I said, they don't have seeds.
So, Nancy, when you plant, you keep the papery protective on the garlic at the time you plant?
Yeah. If you have any that get kind of really brown looking, try not to. Sometimes you get, I'm sorry, I should have looked it up what the name of the fungus that you get on garlic heads is. But it makes them look brown, and those aren't the best ones to save to plant the next time. And I've only had that very seldom, like if the water went, like I got a little last year, but that was because the water stopped, and then I put water back on it when it was really kind of too late. But still okay garlic to eat. I just don't want to plant it again.
Because.
Well, you break it into separate garlic cloves. But no, you don't peel it. You just leave it there. And you about 2 inches deep and with the pointy end up. There's a paper here that says a lot of this. Yeah, pointy end up. It's an easy one to tell. And like I say, you think nothing's coming up for a while. But garlic does really good up here, just as long as you water it when it's dry.
Preserve it is to hang it in a dark place.
You wouldn't put it in the refrigerator or something?
She did say
I put it in the refrigerator in October.
Okay.
To keep it from sprouting.
Okay.
Not the stuff I'm going to plant, but the stuff that I'm not going to plant. And it will last quite a while if you put it in the refrigerator after that. Yeah, I dry it before I even bring it in the house for about, just throw it in the shade for a couple of weeks. Then I bring it in the house and put it in a net bag or braid it, hang it on the wall, usually somewhere shady, but I'm not sure if that's absolutely essential. You know, at the least you wouldn't want it somewhere where you were going to bake it in the sun. But, and then, you know, you can just pick out a few of the nice big heads you have and use them for the next year that look nice and the color they're supposed to be. Because not all of them are white. The ones I grow are white, but some of them are kind of red, the paper on the outside of them, white and red, and possibly a light brown. But there's this kind of black-looking, dark brown-looking disease they can get on the bulb that you don't want to use those to. It just seems to be on the outer scales usually. But if you plant that bulb, then it, it saps the plant. It's just not good to use those.
Now,
society garlic is an ornamental plant with blue flowers.
I have no idea
if it's edible, and I have no idea if that one's edible. I think I know what you mean. They're little, and they never get big. They will split. And it smells like garlic. But just because it smells like garlic, it might not be. I wouldn't be eating it myself. You know, not without identifying it carefully. But you do have the tiny little things on garlic flowers. And those, if you plant them somewhere in a bed that's rich, you can grow them up into big cloves and then plant those cloves and get heads. But like I said, it'd take at least 2 years and you'd have to water them. And I'm not sure how well they do in the heat of the summer here, because I've never done that. I just have enough garlic to plant. The only reason I'd do that would be if somebody handed me some garlic that I thought was the most wonderful thing in the world, tastes different than regular garlic. And because it won't cross with anything else. It's you know, asexual. It's not a cross.
What elevation are you growing at?
I'm at 1750.
Thank you.
So
soulless already.
Probably not this time. But I usually plant in late October. I've got the bed ready, but I was just moving some leeks into it yesterday from the old leeks. By the way, there's a few leek seeds over there if anybody wants an old leek with papers and instructions on how to grow a leek as a perennial. If you want to, you can grow it in the spring too, but I'm lazy. I like perennials.
Are you too?
That's all I can think of about garlic.
Well, thank you, Nancy.
Elephant garlic. If you grow it, you have to space it further apart.
Good tip. Any more questions on garlic? No? Thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Over the Garden Gate, a program presented by the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. I'm Linda Reevely. Thank you for being with us. If you would like to contact us for more information, remember you can contact our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912, or you can look us up on the kaad-lp.org website. Look for Over the Garden Gate. Thank you.